Anyone can become a member of IAPS. We have monthly conference calls. There's $5 dues. We're having elections tomorrow morning at breakfast. And also, we are selling raffle tickets. It's a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are one ticket for $2 or three tickets for $5. And the money that we make off of that, it goes to IAPS to help with things like this and student seminar. So I encourage you all to buy those too. So Maya is on her way up here, and I'm going to let her speak about her internship experience.
Hi everyone, my name is Sumaya Hussein, and I'm a totally blind college student right now. I'm in a court reporting program, which I'm doing completely online. I read Braille, and I depend on technology. If it weren't for Braille and technology, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I was lucky enough to have an internship through the NFBI this past summer, and I am here to speak about my experience throughout the internship. So oftentimes I wonder to myself, and I think a lot of other people wonder, are we limited or are we limitless as blind people? Are the things we aspire to do possible or impossible? Are we capable or incapable? Do we have a disability or is it an ability? Can we believe and achieve? When I received the news that I was going to be an intern, I was super excited. I was looking forward to it and I couldn't wait to start. But as the time got closer for me to begin, I was overcome with anxiety. I had a million different questions running through my mind. How will I orient myself? How will I find my way around? What are the people going to be like? Will they understand me? What type of work will I be asked to do? But as I started my internship and after meeting my coworkers and supervisor, it became easier over time for me to adjust and feel comfortable in the environment. The task I was given was to make phone calls for the program, for their mentoring program, for the organization. And the supervisor was unsure how I would access the contact list that I needed to make the phone calls. So I explained and I showed her my Braille note and how she can save the document on a flash drive and I can simply insert it and open the document and be able to read it in Braille. And to me, this was so interesting because the coworkers and my supervisor were so amazed, and I was really interested that something so simple like that, people were so amazed at. But at the same time, I felt really good knowing that I just showed others how I can make accommodations to get the job done. Although this felt good for a while, that was about the only task I was assigned. And so I had asked for more work because the days are 8 hours long and you know, you gotta keep busy. So I asked for more work from the supervisor and she told me to just listen to the cases of the different clients, which I did. But then around the third week, I noticed the other volunteers were given enough tasks to keep them busy all day. And so I politely asked why they were allowed to complete various tasks, but I was told there was nothing to help with. And it was around this time when my supervisor told me that I was limited. I was very shocked to hear these words, and even though I felt discouraged, I knew that I needed to focus on everything I have learned from the experience. Because without the chance of my having this internship, I would never know what the work environment is like. I wouldn't know the importance of speaking up and advocating for myself. I would have no idea what the real world is about. Most importantly, I would never know that there are people who see blind individuals as limited. So after contemplating these words, I decided that I would like to start advocating for other blind individuals that face similar issues. I want to bring awareness and acceptance to others about blindness, because although some of us may not know it, there are so many people that need to be taught what blindness really is. I'm now inspired to teach the world about blindness, to show others that we are not limited, we are limitless. Everything they think is impossible for us to do, we know well enough it is possible. We say we may be seen as incapable of completing certain tasks, but we are more capable than they may think. to those that think blindness is a disability, even people in the audience that may think you have a disability, you are wrong, because our blindness is nothing more than an ability. And as long as we can all see it that way, then we will forever believe and achieve. I want to thank the NFBI and all those who made it possible for me to gain this life-changing experience. I am so grateful for the wonderful opportunity I was given. I would like to also give a special thanks to Debbie Stein, who has been my mentor and supported me through this all. She always had great advice for me, and without her help, my experience would not have been amazing as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Samaya. Up next is we're going to present our Teaching Excellence Award. So if the recipients of this award can come up here and with the families who nominated them, I would greatly appreciate that. A little bit about the Teaching Excellence Award. IAPS has been doing this for a couple years. I think Amy won one a few years ago. And we have an application, and people can nominate teachers of blind children or blind adults, and then we go through and select some finalists from that. And we have two winners tonight, or this afternoon. Sorry, I got lack of sleep. It seems like night by now. So I'm going to read a little bit from the application. Applications were due in September, and next year we're going to have to do it again. So be looking out for those to nominate some teachers. I think we're going to start with Gary Woodbrow from Chicago Public Schools. He was nominated by Eliza Elliott. He is a TVI and O&M. From what the nomination form said, is that he did not see her daughter's disability and hearing loss as a problem, but rather than a challenge to find the best way to teach her. He makes learning Braille fun and interactive with games, as well as a Braille Twister. And he also advocates for her right to Braille. So we're gonna have him say a few words.
Oh, thank you. Here's the real hero. Hey, Miranda. You like the playroom. Oh, no one can see you down there. She's going to be the future mayor of Chicago, is what I think here. But you can't see?
It's too heavy.
Well, she likes the gavel. And when Mrs. Ellett said that Mr. Witt was here, and she goes, oh, no, mobility's on Monday. Braille's on Monday. What kid wants to go to school on a Saturday, right? but it's been an honor to be a teacher for 30 years, and it's just a joy to work with students like Miranda and her family, because Mrs. Ella is so supportive, and she's just a voice of NFB. And on behalf of all the orientation, mobility, and specialists and the teachers and the visually impaired, I want to thank NFB for their activism, their high expectations of their students and their clients, their emphasis on education and leadership, and these are all goals that we work towards. So just in conclusion, thank you for this beautiful award. Thank you for letting me work with your children. It's an honor. And you parents, you're excellent advocates. That works. Go into the schools, let them know what you need, what your student, your child's all about, and we'll take care of them for you. So I hope to be a involved in vision for another 30 years, if that's possible, but maybe not. But thank you.
We have one more recipient this afternoon. Liz Plaskin? Okay. She is from Thomas Jefferson Primary School in Peoria, Illinois. She was nominated by Marion. A little bit from the nomination form. She was nominated because she makes her student feel included in the classroom since he's the only blind student. She ensures that Braille is all around the classroom and that he is never left out. I personally felt really strong about this because I was the only blind student in my school growing up. So feeling included is definitely a big part of it, especially when you're younger. So let her speak a little bit.
Thank you. It's my pleasure teaching my children like Mikhail and children with multiple disabilities. And truly, the occupation chose me. I didn't choose it. And it's a full team effort at Thomas Jefferson. And I thank all of the wonderful peoples I get to work with, and especially the wonderful families. Thanks. So thank you very much.
Can we have another round of applause for our Teaching Excellence Awards winners? Up next, we have another award for Nellie. I don't know where Debbie is. If Debbie can come up here, too. I have not known Nellie as long as Debbie has. I've seen her around conventions because for a few years now, and I got to spend some time with her this past summer at the Springfield Bell. She came down with Alex, and they got to stay in a hotel in Springfield. And I know from that she spent time outside of the Bell time with parents, getting to know them and making them feel welcomed and involved in the NFB. And I know she's done a lot more, so I'm gonna have Debbie say a few more things about Nellie.
Okay, the award that Nellie is being presented with today is the Eileen O'Brien Award, and it's a award that has been given to very special people in honor of someone who was sighted but had taken on very much the cause of blindness and the NFB a number of years ago. And so we've given it generally to people, sighted members, sighted people who have really understood our ideas about what it means to be blind and what it doesn't mean to be blind. And I first met Nellie when her son Alex was 4, and we had worked very hard to put together a parents' presentation, and we had speakers, and we had everything at convention. She was the only parent that showed up. And we felt like, oh, this is, you know, what a failure of an event. We worked so hard. Well, having one parent show up and that parent being Nellie, it was a crowning success because Nellie has been very active, very loyal. She's been involved with the parent leadership at the program at the national level. She has worked finding other families and helping other families to understand what's important about our movement. And she has really been very persistent in making sure that her son Alex, who's now 14, has all of the skills that he needs, including Braille, including mobility, and also since he is also able to read print. He is a dual media reader in the truest sense of the word. So Nelly has been a wonderful role model to parents, and we're so proud to be able to honor her with this award. And if you'd like to say a few words, you are cordially welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. I wasn't even sure what to prepare because I wasn't sure what was going to be said. Debbie asked me, she called me and she said, did you look at the agenda? Because you're a recipient of an award. And I was like, oh, well, I had not noticed it actually. But as Debbie mentioned, I came to my first meeting, my family and I, when Alex was four. And we were the only family, the only one with a child. And a lot of the topics felt, you know, way above my head. But Debbie, she called me, I believe, two or three times before I actually returned her phone call. And, you know, and it's like the first thing as a parent, you're like, okay, I have another child, and then spend the weekend. You know, it's kind of hard, but, you know, we showed up. The speaker that they had was wonderful. She had a lot of the things that she said, the story that she said about her child just really touched us. And so ever since then, we haven't missed a convention. Every year we come in, although we know that maybe there's only 1 hour dedicated to student issues or parent issues, questions. Throughout the thing, there's always something that we learn as parents. And even if the topics that are being talked about might be, you know, oh, it's not applicable now, it's for when my child is in high school, or for when my child is in college, or when they're out looking for a job. I mean, it's like every little thing helps you prepare and plan ahead and start asking questions now. And that's kind of how we felt back then when Alex was only in preschool. And the speaker was talking about her child was like, I believe, middle school or almost high school age. But, you know, just the words of encouragement that we heard there. And we were at a school, even though Alex was going to a school for with the vision program, because he did have sight. You know, they were like, oh, he'll be doing great with print. So, I mean, we were like, well, okay, they know better, right? They're the experts. This is a vision school. And like, we came out of this convention and we're like, nope, we want him to learn Braille. And, you know, he has to learn this and he'll do dual print and all of that. So it just gives you the confidence to really go back to your school and push for what you want, what you know in your heart or in your head that it's right. And when they come back and tell you it cannot be done, or, you know, he'll be okay this way or that way, and you know that you should fight for it, is, you know, it just gives you that confidence. And, you know, I really do hope that many more parents keep coming back, you know. And I always say, if I learn one thing, if we take one thing away from every conference, this is 10 things we've learned now, because it's been 10 years that we keep coming back. So thank you.
Thanks
for the recognition.
And thank you for giving back in so many wonderful ways.
It's really glad to see Nelly and Alex and Nick come back every year. I've made friends with them, and it's really glad to see families come back every year. Next up is the scholarship finalists are going to talk, give a little introduction about themselves before tonight's banquet. I know that every year there's a national scholarship that I think applications come out on the 1st of November, and then there's also the state scholarship, which I don't know when your applications come, you know?
They're the same.
November 1st, around there,
yeah.
For state scholarship applications as well. I was a winner of this in 2012, so I definitely know how much this is a great opportunity not to learn. It's not just about money, it's to learn from other people and be more empowered as a blind student. So I'm going to give the microphone back to Debbie, and she can run this little part.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Would the scholarship finalists please come up to the podium, and that would be Barb Feltz and Marina Salmon and Diego Espino and Jalea Anderson. There's stairs over on my left, your right, and there on my right, your left, and there's a ramp on the other end. Okay. So would the scholarship recipients please come up to the stage? And we will have each of the scholarship finalists or recipients, they're not winners until after the banquet, but have each of them introduce themselves for about 2 minutes. So we have four scholarship recipients this year, and the first will go alphabetically. So the first one who will introduce herself to you is Jalea Anderson.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jalea Anderson. I am 18 years old. I lost my vision at the age of 3. I've been totally blind since then. I reside in the south suburbs of Chicago in a small residential area called Linwood. I graduated from Thornton Fractional South in Lansing, Illinois. It's a neighboring suburb. I am currently a freshman at the University of Illinois at Springfield. I'm currently a freshman at the University of Illinois at Springfield. My major is social work, and what I plan to do is assist people with disabilities to be more comfortable within their environments and vice versa, people without disabilities to be accepting. So if someone would like to go to a high school dance, I want them to feel comfortable going to a high school dance, and I want the people at the dance to be accepting of them. And I am just very honored, and it's a pleasure to be here today and this weekend. And I'm looking forward to being a part of NFB and giving back to this organization. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Diego Espino.
Okay, hello everyone. My name is Diego Espino. I am 22 years old. I have retinitis pigmentosa, so my vision got worse, or I guess I lost a big portion of my vision when I was 16, and that made me become visually impaired, and so I had to start learning how to use the cane and Braille. And I had to let go of, I played soccer since I was like 5 years old. So that was one of like the biggest challenges that I had to face. Better than I was able to keep on with sports by taking on swimming. I tried wrestling, but that didn't work for me. I attended the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign for my undergrad. I did social work. And I also stayed there this semester, one more year for my master's in social work and concentrating in mental health. I decided to go to U of I because I'm from Chicago, could have gone to UIC, but I needed to adapt to my disability and adapt to being more independent. And so I thought the only way for me to do that is to get away from everything that in a way has me tied down to Chicago. Like everybody who's there knows me about soccer, knows me for who I was before. So I had to re-find my identity. And so I did, it helped me a lot. And I wanna say I came to accept my disability fully by like the end of sophomore year in college, junior year. That's when I started researching more about the NFB, more about Braille. And I did my internship and my undergrad. I did my internship at a domestic violence agency, and that helped me a lot too, because it also, like the young girl who said about her internship experience, that experience also helped me a lot to see the world in which other people did not think I was capable of doing certain things, but I showed them like the way I was organized and how I made sure to have certain files organized, and other people were like, well, how do you do that? And it was just something that to me did not seem all that big, but to other people were like, wow. And so I look forward to doing an internship this summer. And I am planning to one day have a support group for adolescents who have eye conditions in which they're losing their vision, so they could have other people with them and know that they're not alone. Because I think that was something that was missing for me during my high school years. And in terms of the NFB, it's a pleasure to be here. I am very grateful. I think Amy said, the money is there, the scholarship. But for me, the experience is being able to be here, having mentors, and being able to know more about this great organization. And I also hope to continue being part of it. Thank you.
Okay, Barb Feltz.
Hi, my name is Barb Feltz. I will not disclose my age. I am a grad student at the George Washington University in DC. 95% of it is online, 5% is on campus. A little bit of how I got to where I am today is 18 years of my career has been spent in the field of cardiology and doing diagnostic testing. 6 years ago, I lost my sight, and once I adjusted to my disability, I needed to evaluate what I loved about my job that I want to do in the future. And a big part of it is working with people on an individual basis, taking care of people, and helping people. And so I decided to go back to school to get my master's in rehabilitation counseling. And my goal is to be in the capacity of vocational rehab, seeking jobs for those who are visually impaired. Right now I'm thinking Veterans Administration, but it could be through the state or federal agency also. So I would like to thank the NFBI Scholarship Committee for the nomination. It is definitely an honor. And being part of this organization and this conference this weekend is very rewarding, and I'm enjoying all of it. Thank you.
And last but not least, Marina Salmon.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Marina Salmon. I am a first-year graduate student at Edward University in downtown Chicago. I'm in a counseling program specializing in sport and health psychology. And it's been a long journey, but hopefully I'll be able to go farther in my career. I originally diagnosed with retinal pigmentosa when I was in seventh grade. And then later, my eyesight eventually deteriorated. However, even though I'm legally blind, I still have some vision, thank God, but it is a challenge. It is an everyday challenge. So, it was hard. Like everybody else in this room, it was hard for me to accept my disability. Because I don't have one disability, I have multiple disabilities. So, of course it's hard, but you learn a lot about yourself. And not coming to the National Federation of the Blind Convention, I learned even more. I learned a lot more about myself and other people. So, thank you, Debbie and Patty, for everybody else for making it possible. And I never knew it was nationwide. So, but now I know, and now I can go back home and tell everybody else about my experience here. So thank you for having me.
So you can see we've got four really outstanding scholarship winners this year, and we're all so excited and so proud of them. We're now going to withdraw the parents to conference room A. We will go down for our parent activities for parents and for people interested in parenting issues. So we'll say goodbye to the students and move on and do our own thing. Thank you.
Up next, we have one more presenter for the students. This is Candace Chapman. She is here as our NABS rep. NABS is the National Association of Blind Students. IABS is a part of it. And I have known Candace for many, many years now. She was my mentor at Youth Slam in 2011, and I met her before that at the Youth Slam in 2009. So we have definitely had some time to get to know each other, and I don't want to introduce too much about her because I'm sure she's going to talk about herself a lot. So I will give the microphone over to Candace.
Parents all the same.
All right. You guys with this stage and this podium, you make a girl who likes to be behind the scenes a little nervous coming up here. So, like Katie said, we've known each other for a really long time. And can we just have a round of applause for Katie? I remember what it was like stepping into someone else's shoes, to kind of have to take over without necessarily having expected that when you first ran for a position. So I think Katie has been doing a marvelous job with the student activities that we've had here. So hats off to you, Katie. You're doing awesome. I'm so proud. So I'm going to talk to you guys about getting involved. So we say that phrase, getting involved, and when you're not involved and maybe you don't have an idea about how to get involved, the idea of getting involved can be a little daunting. So I guess I want to tell you guys my story about how I got involved, and hopefully that'll provide an example of how getting involved doesn't have to be this huge task. You start small and it just kind of becomes an organic process. So I first became acquainted with the National Federation of the Blind through USLAM, like Katie was saying. But the one before 2009 or 2011, I was a student in 2007. I lost my vision when I was 14, so back in 2004. Up until that point, I had been fully sighted. I have optic atrophy, so I have optic nerve damage, and that's what caused my vision loss. So I didn't really know much about blindness or tools of blindness or anything like that. We were very isolated. So my resource teacher, a flyer for the NFB USLAM, came across her desk, and I was still very interested in pursuing a degree in veterinary medicine when I was in high school. So I was very interested in the science aspect, and this sounded like a program that wasn't going to be like my experiences with talking about science had been up until that point. And those were, well, I mean, we can continue to look at this science thing, but you don't see well enough to do a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, we can talk about it, but I don't really think that that's gonna work out. The USLAM did not sound like that at all. So I convinced my mother to let me go to Baltimore to participate in this program, which was a long and tedious process. My mom was not into the idea of having me go to Baltimore. So I went to the Youth Slam and I met a whole bunch of blind people who were very interested in seeing blind students succeed in science, technology, engineering, and math fields. Through this process, I found out about the National Federation of the Blind, about the chapters and the different affiliates. And so I made up my mind that when I got home, I would find the Mississippi affiliate and see what was going on with the National Federation of the Blind. I still didn't have a really good picture because Youth Slam was very chaotic in a lot of ways. It was very fast paced. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to just sit down and have like an informational session. So when I got back to Jackson, Mississippi, I attended a chapter meeting and there was a lot of discussion about projects that were going on and things that the Jackson chapter was doing, plans for other things. And it was a little overwhelming. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here and then I'm gonna leave. And this is probably not for me. I don't think so. But before I got a chance to leave the meeting, Sam Gleese, the president of the Mississippi affiliate, realized that I was the student that they had sponsored to go to Youth Slam, based off of the introduction that I gave in the meeting. And he asked me to wait after the meeting, and he wanted to talk to me. And so I was a little disappointed because, like I said, I was going to run. So after the meeting, Sam and I talked about Youth Slam and how the experience was, and I told him that I liked it a lot. And he asked me if I would be interested in other things like that. And I was thought that maybe I would be. And so he took my contact information and I got his. And I thought that I was going to run again. And I did run a little ways, but it wasn't a very long leash that I had. Mr. Gleese, Sam got in touch with me not too long after that meeting and started talking to me about a student division for Mississippi. And I told him that that sounded like a great idea and that who was going to be doing this student division and that I would love to help with that. And Sam laughed and he told me that I was going to be doing it. And I told him that I did not think that that was going to work, that I was not a leader and that I thought that someone who was more experienced should be the one doing this. And he told me that he thought that I was perfect for the job. So I reluctantly took up the reign of getting the student division started. And I expected that Mr. Gleese would be right there with me, helping me figure this out. And he was, sort of. When I came to him with questions, he was like, well, here, why don't you go and look here and see if you find anything of interest? So in a lot of ways, Mr. Gleese was a guiding presence, but the footwork that had to be done was on my shoulders. And after this project started in 2008, when I was just starting my undergraduate degree, and by 2010, we had contacted a list of students. We, meaning I, had contacted a list of students, and we had our organizing meeting at our state convention in 2010, and we started the Mississippi Association of Blind Students at that meeting. Even though the process was very daunting to be in charge of starting something, it was very rewarding to see that meeting happen and to know that because of my efforts and the work that I had done with the National Federation of the Blind of Mississippi, that there was a place for students to go to find resources, to find other blind students, to share the experience of navigating the waters of school as a blind student. So I think Sam's goal was to get me bitten by the leadership bug, so to speak, because after that, I was all about it. We wanted to start a chapter in Starkville, which is the city that I was attending college. And so having those experiences from starting the student division, I sort of went to the same ground level and we organized the Starkville chapter about a year after we organized the student division. So those were sort of my beginnings in leadership, organizing and starting things, I began working with the National Association, the National Association of Blind Students, working on the membership committee, just as a member, helping to organize the calls that the membership committee has. At the time, it was once a month. I helped to contact guest speakers and to think of topics. And then I worked at our national conventions with the membership committee as a marshal. I helped to count chips for our Monte Carlo night. Very small task, but that contributed to the overall productivity of our events. In 2011, I was elected to the board of the National Association of Blind Students as a board member, and continued to work. I think I worked with the student slate at first and also continued to work with the membership committee. At the same time that I was elected, I was also beginning to mentor programs through the National Federation of the Blind. I mentored the 2009 Youth Slam and also the 2011 Youth Slam. I also mentored the Junior Science Academy, which was a smaller version of the Youth Slam for middle school students. And this was all while being a college student and earning my bachelor's degree. In 2012, I graduated from undergrad, but I was still serving with NABS while I was attending Blind Incorporated. I became the treasurer of NABS in 2013, and I served in that position until this past summer when I was elected first vice president. So that's kind of like my story, and I think being involved doesn't necessarily need a title. Within the Minnesota affiliate, I also serve as the chairperson of various committees. I serve as the state liaison for the STEM2U program that'll be happening in Minnesota this spring. I work on the national level. I serve on our ambassadors committee, people who run around a convention trying to make things go more smoothly. We try. you know, so I think what I'm trying to get at with telling you guys my story and the different ways that I'm involved is that it doesn't always necessarily look the same for every person, and it doesn't always have to be a position that's elected or anything. If you are interested in getting involved, it can be as easy as going to one of the leaders or your affiliate and saying, hey, put me to work. Like, I wanna help with something. And that can be your springboard into getting involved in all sorts of things, because there's only so many positions on a board. And those 7 to 9 people in some instances aren't able to do all of the work. It's all the other people who serve on the committees, who do like the seemingly small task. It takes all of those things to make events run, to make conventions happen. So getting involved doesn't have to be this big monumental task. It can be very small. It can be whatever you're comfortable with. It can be so much as, hey, I see that this event is over, but nobody's picking up the leftover things that are on the table. I think I'll do that. And that can be the start. Whatever you have an idea about can be where you get involved. Thank you.
That is it. Does anyone have any questions for Candace or anything? No? Okay. We are done for lunch. I want to remind everyone that IAB's business meeting is at 7 tomorrow morning in here. So I encourage everyone to attend that. Even though it's really early, it is worth it. And then general session, I think, is at 2 in here again. And you are all free.